You'll go back to John chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to continue looking at this, and we're going to look at some applications from this text. We have been engaging in a series on marriage, and if you'll recall, we looked at how God created the marriage in terms of a covenant in which we are together, the husband and the wife come together, and God comes together in that and binds them. And each of them have their own roles that they play, and they're very different and distinct from each other. But there is one role that is the same for the husband and the wife, and it's love. And the Bible talks a lot about that. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says to love your wife, the husbands are to love the wife as Christ loves the church. In Titus 2, he's there trained, tells the older women to train the younger women to love their husbands. And so how do we love each other? How do the husband and the wife show their love towards one another? And there's not a better example how to do that than this text here in John 3:16, in which God displays for us this ultimate example of love. And so if you were just to look at John 3:16, you could just transpose that template into a marriage, and you'll see that the points remain the same. First of all, love is primarily an act of the will. It's not a feeling of emotion. One of the things that you're going to find out is that a lot of times, hopefully this doesn't happen, but it can happen. I've seen it happen in other marriages before where you just kind of fall in and out of love sometimes. And romantic, the romantic point of view, that is really the idea there is that, well, if I'm falling out of love, I might as well get out of the relationship. But we can nevertheless choose to do good to our spouses regardless of the mood at the moment. The issue for a husband or wife is not, am I in love with my spouse? That should never be the question. The issue is, will I do good for my spouse always? And that's simply what Jesus did for us. He did good for us by giving. He did what he had to do, and he wanted to do it, even though it wasn't pleasurable to him. He did it for us. And wives and husbands, we are to give to each other. Give of yourself. Do everything in your power to protect each other from harm, even when they do not deserve it. And there will be moments when that is the case. There's plenty of them on my end where I have not been deserving of it, and Leah has loved me regardless. And there's going to be more, I'm sure. I want to look at 1 Samuel 25 for just a moment. One of the most amazing passages in which we see this kind of love displayed is in 1 Samuel 25. We all know this story really well. This is the story of David and his encounter with Abigail. But I want you to think about what has happened here. Abigail is married to Nabal, who is said in this text to be harsh, a badly behaved individual. He's evil. Some translations say churlish. We don't use that word often. But he's churlish in his dealings. Dishonest man on all accounts. And David and his men are hungry and in need of food. And he refuses to help them out. He's just a very wicked man. Well, David has decided he is going to end this man's life because he is a worthless fellow. And I want you to notice here in 1 Samuel 25 and verse 24, it says she fell. This is Abigail when she hears what David is about to do. She goes to Abigail, to David, and she says, she fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not this regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." Is she honest? Yeah, she's pretty honest about who her husband is. I would say that. She asks that this wickedness, though, be counted on her. Why don't you just think about that for just a moment? Here's this woman, Abigail. Here's Nabal, this worthless individual. And she hears that he's about to die. And she goes and tries to save his life. And say, "You take his wickedness and you put it on me." She had a responsibility to love her husband no matter what circumstances she found herself in. You think, given what we know about Nabal, that this was a romantic falling in and out of love situation for her? She made a choice. She acted out of her will. It pleased her to save his life. And such love extended not only to her husband, it ended up extending to David. She saved his soul as well from doing something that would have caused a disruption. Now, don't forget, she had a pretty good opportunity here. If she had just stood back and let David do his job like he wanted to do, she could have gotten out of this marriage and she would have been in a better place. She wouldn't have to deal with a worthless man or husband every day. She wouldn't have to make a choice to love the hard way every day. She could have just gotten out of it and just let David do his thing. But she saved his soul that day, David's, and she saved her husband's life. And it cost her potentially staying in the marriage. Abigail fits that description in Romans 5 really well. Perhaps for a good person we would die. Well, what about your enemy? What about when your enemy sometimes is your spouse? She risked her life, her own life. She gave her own life for this man because she belonged to him and she chose to love even though she was not loved in return. And so this is so needed in our marriages. We must give. And the hardest thing to give is your own self, but that is exactly what we are called to do because that's exactly what Jesus does and what God did according to John 3:16. And what's hardest is that we are called to do this even when it's not reciprocated. Love is not a feeling or an emotion. It is an act of your will. The second thing is that love is an act of the will to meet and fulfill the needs of others. We give for the purpose of fulfilling needs. God gave because our need was life, and so he gave us life. Well, what are those needs in marriages? There are a lot of them to think about. We as husbands are to give financially to our and to protect and to provide for our wives. 1 Corinthians 7, we're to provide the needs of each other in the sexual relationship. Maybe most importantly, we are to provide the spiritual environment for our household. Husbands especially are to provide that spiritual needs of the wife. I don't know if the other guys in here like this, but I like to cook. I like to grill. I like to smoke meats. And from time to time, I like to go and I like to cook a meal for Leah. If the day she's working, sometimes I'll try to get a meal together and cook it so that when she comes home, we can eat. And one of the things that I've noticed is that many times when I'm cooking the meal and we sit down to eat, we've got the bread and we've got the meat and maybe some pasta, some kind of macaroni and cheese or something. And where's the vegetables, right? Well, I am trying to give to her. I'm trying to provide something for her that she's in need of. But what I end up doing is providing what I know I would want. And I think she should want it. Right? That happens all the time. But then that idea just results in a selfish kind of love rather than a selfless love, doesn't it? Sometimes the simplest thing to do is just to ask. Just ask each other, what are your needs today? How can I fulfill those needs for you today? There's a passage in Matthew chapter 6 that I want us to look at that just bears this point out. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Okay, so here are all the needs that creation needs. In verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He fulfills those needs. He sees the need and he fulfills it. Are they not of more value than, are you not of more value than they? That is an excellent question that needs to be put into the marriage relationship. I want you to think about that question. Whether we provide for the needs of our spouses depends completely on how much we value each other. God must have valued us a lot. And he expects us as husbands and wives to value each other the same. There's nothing more humbling and difficult than realizing that my wife has a need that I'm not meeting. Because I'm selfish and I'm proud and I'm thinking about myself. That's a shot in the heart. What if God's love were that way? Wouldn't be any John 3:16. Especially if he chose not to meet our needs. There would be no eternal life. There would be only a judgment that's directed one way. And then finally, love is primarily an act of the will to meet the needs of others by giving it all. If you stop and think about it, you think about what a marriage consists of. You have a husband and a wife, and they're both sinful creatures. We're both sinners. And yet, because of Christ, we can be united and use these relationships. Really, they reverse the course of where they were headed before Christ. And so he is able to reconcile us and to forgive and to provide peace where there was no peace. And to do that, it requires giving all that it can. And that's the message of the gospel. And the scripture calls upon us to do the same in our marriages, to please our spouses. And of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul talks about this very idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 33, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And in his interests are divided, and the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and in spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. There's a strife there, but they're worried about how to please each other. That's how it should be. We're not exempt from this command during those times when we don't feel like it either. Or we don't feel like our spouse is deserving of it. Remember, God sacrificed us precisely when we were at our most vulnerable and undeserving. And I want to add one more thing here about this marriage relationship as we close. Husbands especially, we need to listen up. And I speak for myself too. But husbands are especially commanded to give their love to their wives sacrificially. That is our responsibility. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Do that, both husband and wife especially are to do that for each other, but especially the husbands are to do this. You remember that Las Vegas shooting that took place, I don't know, a few months back, almost maybe a year ago now. It's been a while. There was a couple of stories that came out of that are rather interesting to me. Jack Beaton and Sonny Melton are two names, and maybe you read about them. But this concert in Vegas, they took their wives to hear this concert, this music festival. Jack Beaton was 54 years old. He was a roofer. And they were celebrating their 23rd anniversary together. And Sonny Melton was a 29-year-old nurse in Vegas with his wife that were there to enjoy the music festivities. And as the two wives are describing what took place, They were talking about how immediately when the shots were fired, these two husbands instinctively sought to shield their wives from harm. They heard the shots, immediately wrapped their arms around them to make sure their back were facing the shooter and not their wives. And Beaton's wife described it this way. He told me, "Get down, get down, get down." He put his body on top of hers for protection. And she said, "He told me, 'I love you, Laurie.' And his arms were around me and his body just went heavy on me." In a Melton story, she says, "He saved my life. He grabbed me from behind and started running when I felt him get shot in the back." They did what Christ tells us to do as husbands. That sacrificial love. And I'll just add this in here too, that this very principle that we're talking about exposes the evil spousal abuse. We are all made in the image of God. And those who abuse their wives are an insult to the very name of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 cannot just be an empty slogan like we make it. It is a densely packed expression of the gospel. And it needs to resonate with us not only in terms of our relationship with God, but in our relationships with each other. And especially it's needed in this day and age in our relationships within our marriages. Jesus paid it all. Let that sink in this morning as we stand and sing this invitation song.